summarizing, like, Rabbez al-Sarwa of Nutayra, talking about the union of Pishnayim, the Talmud receiving, Rabbez al-Qur, the Pasuk Eilat Torah is Noyach, Noyach ish Tzadik, that a Tzadik has two Ruchas. And Rabbez al said that it's possible for a Talmud to be able to draw from the two Ruchas if he sees the Rebbe being an Estalik, if he feels the Rebbe's Estalkus within himself. So we see already Rabbeinu Zal here presented a concept of two ruchos by a tzaddik. Then Rabbeinu Zal discussed the whole union of hiskarvus of talmidim to a tzaddik, how a tzaddik is compared to a tree, and there's all kinds of connections. There's the roots of the tree, the trunk of the tree, the branches of the tree, the leaves of the tree. Each person has a different type of connection to the tzaddik. Then Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the whole union of being Moitzi Mikoyach HaLapoyel, being able to bring something from Achshava into Maisa, and Rabbeinu Zal explained that it's based on the two names of Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yudkei Vavkei stands for Achshava, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud stands for Maisa. They start out together in Achshava as the letter Yud. You note that the letter Yud, B'milui, is Yud, and then Vav Dalet, which is again Yud, it starts out together. And then it spreads out, it splits out into Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Meshulav. In between them, there's six in between the two Yuds, there's six letters, which corresponds, just like in the letter Aleph, which is the base for creation. It's the first one of the letters of the Aleph base. You have also these two Yuds and a Vav in the middle, the Rokia in the middle, the Pasach in the middle. Then Rabbeinu Zal said that the question is, how does a person open up these two ruchais? In other words, how does a person cause this whole thing to go into effect, whereby it starts off as two yuds together, and it opens up and separates? Rabbeinu Zal says that's through a hamtoko of charoinaf. Why? Because Rabbeinu Zal had explained that through a person having parnasa, if a person has his own parnasa, he doesn't have to come on to other people. He's zeicha to emes, which is the bechina of olam haba, through which a person can be zeicha to be mitzi mikoyach alapoyel. That's called really bringing out mikoyach alapoyel, the bechina of olam haba. Rabbeinu Zal says that smoke causes problems to the eyes, as the pasuk says, Ke'oshan lo'inayim, and Rabbeinu Zal says that the eyes are the bechina of parnosa. The eyes are an inyan of parnosa, which means if smoke causes problems to the eyes, it means smoke causes problems to parnosa. What is smoke? The inyan of chaloinaf, kas. A person gets into anger, he loses his parnosa. Rabbeinu Zal in a different Torah quotes. It explains the pasuk Ohin Oshir Kiryas Uzai, that the wealth of an Oshir is like the walls that surround him. And when a person falls into chaos, the chaimo gets converted to chaimo. Chaimo is anger. So he destroys his parnasa, period. So chaos destroys parnasa. The opposite of chaos, by being mamtik chaos, that's how a person is zeichet to parnasa. When we see it, because the pasuk says, "Poiseach es yodecho umazbi alecho chayrotzoin." A person who can open up the yodecho, the yuds, the two yuds, that's a person who is zeichet to umazbi alecho chayrotzoin, to the union of parnasa. How does he do it? By the opposite of charoinaf. Charoinaf makes you lose it. Hamtok of charoinaf makes you get it back. And that's why the word, we said that what's needed here, the separation of the two ruchos, what creates ruach? Hamtok ab charoinaf. Ab charoinaf is smoke. When smoke gets dispersed, it becomes ruach aviri, regular air. That's the whole meaning of these two ruchos, which get separated and are cause a person to be able to have parnosa. And Rabbeinu Zal brought the union that twice ruach is begimatria, the malach ches tov chav, which is the sefer tevis of Pesach HaSyadecha, showing how that's involved. We see right there that the malach from whom parnosa comes from, how does this malach get his chiyus? Every time there's a lot of ruach generated, a double ruach. And Rav Elazar brought also that the first letters of Poseach Es Yedecho show also that it's totally an api in a hamtoko of charoina, a hamtoko of kas. That's what brings about, that's what gives power to this malach. Then Rav Elazar went into a very long, powerful discussion regarding meaning of, and now Rav Elazar says, how does a person, okay, so we know about hamtokas charoinaf. What else is necessary for a person to be able to be moitzi mikoyach al hapoel? Rav Elazar said, shleimus hadibur. Shleimus hadibur is one of the most important items. And he quoted the Zohar HaKadosh, which says that you can't go, because till now, we were talking about going from machshava to maisa. In other words, first item that Rav Elazar did, spent the first two-thirds of this Torah on, was connecting machshava and maisa, and showing you all the tricks involved. Then Rav Elazar said, by the way, we left something out. Let's give you the final item that'll make this a perfect thing. Dibur, Shleimus HaDibur. If you have Shleimus HaDibur and stick that in the middle, then it's a perfect chain from Machshava to Dibur to Maisa. And Rav Elazar said, Shleimus HaDibur is what brings about a Mapolo to the Rishon, as we find that the Torah says that, you know when there'll be a Mapolo to Rishon? Lo Sid Lovoi. Why? Because Oz Afo Chalamim Sofa Brura. There'll be Shleimus HaDibur, that's what'll bring about a Mapolo to the Rishon. And Rav Elazar says, what is Shleimus HaDibur? When the Dibur is with Emes. Again, Rav Elazar emphasizes the point that he said before, that a person who has his own Parnasa, a person who doesn't have to come on to other people for parnasa or for kavod or for anything else, that person can have shleimus hadibur. Then Rav Elazar spoke about the union of he quoted the pasuk Al Hashem b'chayay. I give praise to Hashem when b'chayay. If my parnasa is my own, if my life is my own. Then Rav Elazar again went into the topic of Mapol of the Rishonim through Shleimus HaDibur and the explaining of the Dibur of the weekdays, the Dibur of Shabbos, which corresponds to the Dibur of Olam Haba and the Dibur of Olam Hazeh, and the whole union of Kael Havaya B'Yetziro we explained, and that's where we had left off. Then Rav Elazar, what we did last week, Rav Elazar brought a whole new item into the picture, whereby Rav Elazar spoke about, you know what's really involved in Shleimus HaDibur besides Emes? You have to be Mamshech Nekudais into the Oisiyos. Dibur generally is thought of as Oisiyos, but Oisiyos alone are nothing much. If you add Nekudais to Oisiyos, then they can move. What is Nekudais? The Cheshik and Kisufin with which the Dibur is spoken. And Rav Elazar explained the concept of Cheshik, Kisufin. Then Rav Elazar showed how these Nekudais correspond to the 9 Rokiyas that exist. Which refer to the different levels of nechshokim that there are items that people would want. There are items that are higher and still higher and still higher in the madrigas that a person would crave in coming close to Hashem. We had left off on page 194 by the words Uchlau Hadvorim Hoelo. Hoela.
Opening up the words. Yud of what I'm saying. So, it comes to Panos, you open up the Yud, Yudachos, Yud. Yud of what? The Yud
of Yud, Kevot, Kevot, and Halakhalot, and Yud. Which start out together as one, and then they spread out, form having the Kevot, Kevot, Yud, Kevot, Kevot, and Halakhalot, and Yud. Okay. Now Rav Elazar says, Uklau Hadvorim Oile, to summarize this big paragraph that we just had regarding the topic of Cheshik, Rav Elazar says, Shekol ma shehu odom Cheshik be'emes, any item that a person honestly craves, bevadai yuchal legoimroi uloitziya mikoyach lapoyom, he definitely is capable of completing the item, and bringing the item out from koyach into poyal, from theory into practice, into fact. There isn't any type of barrier that could prevent him from successfully carrying out what he wants to carry out. Rak, however, it's understood that the desire, the yearning that's involved, has to be relative to the item that you're desiring. If the item that you're desiring is a very high level item, it's understood you have to have a very high level of desire, tremendous desire. Rabbeinu Zal says the person can tell by the mania itself. If a person sees that a certain barrier is strengthening itself and spreading itself out before him and standing before him and preventing him very, very much from getting to Eretz Yisrael, from getting to the study of Torah, from having his spodidus, from doing whatever he wants to do, he knows by the degree of the mania, he knows how significant the item that he wants is. He can definitely, definitely carry out, which means what Rabbeinu Zal is saying here, very clear terms, is that if a person sees he wants something and he doesn't succeed in carrying it out, he should know that the chisaron is in ratzon, the chisaron is in cheshek. He didn't have enough cheshek. How could he have gone about getting more cheshek, or how does a person go about getting more cheshek? Through tefillah. You have to ask Hashem, Hashem, please give me cheshek. If my Rebbe said that it's important for me to be zeicher to move to Eretz Yisrael, then I know I have to spend a lot of time begging Hashem to give me cheshek to move to Eretz Yisrael. If he said it's important for me to get married, I have to beg him to give me cheshek. There's an atzlus, there are manias, walls put up, barriers put up to prevent a person from carrying it out. How does he overcome it? Through cheshek. As soon as the cheshek matches the mania crumbles like nothing. It becomes dust. Comes nothing at all whatsoever. Now Rabbeinu Zal, here comes Breslov. Rabbeinu Zal says, this is where Breslov separates the men from the boys. Rabbeinu Zal says, ki ein lehoodom lifteres atzmoi velimtzoi liatzmoi teretz al yidei hamania. A person who wants to take my advice, Rabbeinu Zal says, should never patter himself because of a mania. Say that I couldn't do this item, I'm putter from doing this item because it's too difficult, it's impossible. Loimar, to say, shehu chofetz la'asai sayse davar, the person should dare to say, I really want to do the item, rak she'yev sheloi machmas hamaniya v'oynes. It's impossible for me to do it because of a barrier or an oynes. Oynes means either an accident, meaning a physical circumstance which makes the item impossible, period. Rabbeinu Zal says, v'al kein yihye nechshav lo ki'ilu asoi. In which case, it becomes considered as though the person did the item. K'moy shom razal, as the Gemara says in Brochus, choshav la'asayis mitzvah, v'ne'enas v'lo yasoh, that if a person thought to do a mitzvah, and he was ne'enas, an accident happened, v'lo yasoh, and he didn't carry it out, ki'ilu asoh, he gets credit as though he carried it out. Now note, there's a very interesting item here that Rav Nosson Zal tags in Likutei Halachos. Watch a systems analyst analyze a Gemara and pick out right away which line of coding is missing here. There's one word missing in this Gemara that tells the whole story. Choshav la'aseis mitzvah, person thought to do a mitzvah, v'ne'enas, a circumstance came up making it impossible, v'loy aso'o, and he wasn't able to carry it out into Maisa, ki'ilu aso'o, it's considered as though he did it. What's the punchline of this Gemara? What one item isn't mentioned in this Gemara that we've been talking about throughout this whole Torah? Throughout this whole Torah, we talked about a three-tier cake. Machshavo, dibur, and Maisa. You know when it's physically possible for a person to think to do a mitzvah and for an accident to happen whereby he can't do it? Only if there's, it doesn't say choshev la'aseis mitzvah and some sort of semblance of dibur, his spidedus, tefillah. Choshev, and it didn't come into asiyah, you get credit, you get the ki'ilui. And that's what Rabbeinu Zal is saying, we don't want. Rabbeinu Zal says, ki be'emes bevadai kishiyesh li'ayinus, certainly when a person has an accident, an impossible kind of situation, nechshav ki'ilu yaso, he does get credit as though he did the item. Kamay Shem Razal, as the Gemara says, Avol, Rabbeinu Zal said, you should know that this Gemara was written for the majority of the world, not for Breslov. Rabbeinu Zal says, Avol kol ze ne'amar al mi sheroitze lotzeis bozer, azai yeitze bozer. This Gemara is being written for one who wants to be yeitze. With the ke'ilui, the Gemara lets him know, I want you to be assured that you are being yeitze. You did put in the proper effort, it didn't work out, okay. Ki yesh lo yoinis, because there was an accident. There was an impossible situation. But a person who isn't serving Hashem to be Yetzer, his concept of serving Hashem isn't, I buy a lulav to be, if it's passable, if it's 65, it's good for me. I daven to be Yetzer. His concept is not like that. But Rakshehu Yetzer HaMitzvah Bi'atzmo, this person wants the mitzvah itself. He doesn't want credit for the mitzvah. Credit is baloney. That's a side item, the fact that I get Gan Eden for doing a mitzvah. I want the mitzvah. I have a physical taiva to put on tefillin. I love it. When I do it, it makes me feel good. If a day would chas v'shalom go by without putting on tefillin, I would feel very bad. I'd get very bad headaches, and I'd feel sick over it. Rabbeinu Zal says, he wants the mitzvah or the item of kedusha that he wants to do. He wants the item himself. What does it help a person like that if you tell him, hey, you get credit as though you did it? That doesn't cool his mind, his conscience at all. That doesn't satisfy his chamimus, the kedusha, his wanting, his thirsting for this item of kedusha isn't cooled off at all by this Gemara. This Gemara does nothing for his system. Because he wants very, very much to do the mitzvah itself. Not to be yetsa with the kiilui. The Gemara says it's considered as though he did it. Rabbeinu Zal says it's very, very proper for every single Jew to see to it, to be zeche, to complete whatever he decides to take upon himself to complete in this world. Any item of Kedusha that he sets his sights on, it's very, very proper that he should see to it, to carry it out, to get mission accomplished. Rabbi Zal was Breslov. Rabbi Zal didn't want to hear any ke'ilis. I want to know two words, yes or no, mission accomplished or not. And that's based on this paragraph here in Likutei Moharan, where Rabbeinu Zal set forth this premise, this Talmidim, to know that we're not serving Hashem for 65s, we're not serving Hashem for Gan Eden. Our purpose is, we want the mitzvah itself. We want the item of Kiddusha. Whatever Kiddusha is, we want that, nothing less. When a person yearns really, really honestly, he doesn't allow himself to be cooled at all by the fact that the Gemara says it's considered as though he did it. Then he will definitely succeed in carrying the item out from Koyach into Poyel. V'yishaber, v'yivatel, kol hamaniyos v'onsim. He'll break and nullify all barriers, things that are in his way. Ki heim lebo rak bishvila cheshik. Rabbi Nazal testifies here. I'm telling you, I know Hashem better than anybody. I'm telling you that when Hashem sends Menias, his only reason for sending Menias is to build up more cheshik, to make you want the item more, to make you push for it more, put in more effort for it. וכשיש לי החשי קרוי, לא יסמניה, כפי גדל מרס הנחשק, עצי ממילו נזבטי לא נזמניה. And when a person is צריך to build up enough חשק that corresponds to the mania, that corresponds to the item that's being desired, then the mania will definitely be nullified. Mamela. Mamela means automatically. In other words, it's not even as though you got to knock the wall down. You have to build up enough cheshik, and the second you hit a certain line on the gauge, suddenly the mania just dissipates, and you walk right through.
And then he served its purpose already.
100%. That's the premise that Rabbi Nazal sets forth in this Torah, that the purpose of Menias is to arouse Cheshek. And this applies to each one in everything, whether it be in Torah. Each person has certain yearnings. He wishes he could start learning the right way and everything. And if he sees there are items standing in his way, whether it's Menias of work, the fact that he has to go to work, whether it's Menias in the house, a wife, kids, prevent, whatever it is, he should know that those, the purpose of it being made difficult for him to be able to get to learn is to allow him to build the cheshik to a crescendo. What does it mean, building the cheshik? Building it on the abed? What it means in his spiritus. That's the whole punchline of this Torah. The part where Rabbi Nazal discussed the whole idea of Shlemus HaDibur, that the connection between Koyach and Poyel is only his spiritus. That's the only way. Any item that you want to bring from Koyach into Poyel has to go via an intermediary force, which is Dibur, which is his spiritus, period. And if you see anything that isn't brought out into Maisa, generally the reason is a lack of Dibur. Very simple. It's the only thing that could cause something to get messed up in between Machshava and Maisa. Okay.
And this is all based that statement that he made, that if you see someone not succeeding, doing something,
it's because they know his spirit. That whenever I see things going shalei kaseder for a person, I know it's because of one of two items. Either he has no hispidus or too little hispidus. Shalika Seder means where he's not Seder to be Moitzin Yikoyach HaLapayel. What is Shalika Seder? A lefty. That's the whole thing. Rabbi Nazal here is talking about a lefty. What is a lefty? Kiseder is right handed. Shalika Seder is left handed. What's Pshat left handed? Everything starts off originally left. Meaning, when Hashem created the world originally, what state was it? Cheshech, which is the left side, smile, b'china smile. When the ear is nispateach, which part moves? It's not the left that opens up, it's the right that opens up. And the ikar koyach goes into the right. A lefty is one where this hasn't happened yet. It hasn't been zeichet to be, person hasn't been zeichet to be moitzi mikoyach alapoyal, for whatever reason, so everything is still remaining in the left. You understand? Mm-hmm. That's the whole side, the Mefarshim explain of how Rabbeinu Zal tied in the topic that anyone who doesn't know how to be mitzvah, mikoyach HaLapayel, doesn't know the side of Iter Yad, a lefty. That's what Rabbeinu Zal is talking about here.
Is that why he totally in the right? His
the right?
Possibly.
I
say a person
has
too little
of
his spiders. I mean, he could have like whatever because he has a day, but he should have more for his problem.
Exactly. In other words, what we're referring here to a specific item. What Rabbi was referring to, let's say if we see a person is having a shalei kaseder situation regarding parnasa, I know it's either because he's having too little hispiritus on parnasa, or no hispiritus on parnasa. In other words, referring to specific items on one hand, on another hand, also on a general level, period. Because factually, in other words, some people look at it one way, like it's such murder to have an hour of hispiritus. If a person had any semblance of normalcy, if a person knew how many items are involved in a human being's life, let's just take the gashmi, let's forget ruchni whatsoever. If a person were told that hispiritus, you're not allowed to mix in any ruchnius, any elikus, it has to be purely gashmius, which moron, infantile maniac, couldn't spend an hour a day just davening for his gashmiistic needs. Health. Hashem, let me be zeche that my right hand should be in perfect working order. My left hand should be in perfect working order. I should be zeche to be able to wear pleasant clothes. There shouldn't be any chil Hashem involved in the clothing that I wear. I should be zeche to be able to speak well, to be able to work well. I shouldn't have manias, trains breaking down, getting late, getting to work late. In other words, if a person wanted to be honest, he could break, it's 50 hours. What I, the Kasha, if Rabbi Nezal said an hour a day, and we know that an hour a day is very difficult, it's, so what we do is we assume, and we have a spite of this, we beg Hashem, Hashem, you know what kind of weaklings we are, for us to have an hour is a lot, yet in an hour you can only pack in a drop of what you should be saying. Therefore, please consider whatever we don't say, that this hour should be representative, in a sense, in other words, this is a drop, to represent all of our needs. What are all our needs? You know much better than we do what all our needs are. With giving that over into your hands, you should fill whatever chesronos we have. And Rav Elazar says, one of the ikrim, shebe ikrim, to be zeche to shlimus hachesronos, is hespoidedus with anacha. That when a person has exploded this, every time before he's about to begin a topic, if he really thinks for a second how important the item it is to him, he would take that deep breath and let it out slowly, and by doing that, Rav Elazar says, the person draws the Ruach HaChaim from the Tzadikim Amitiyim, who are the Mokar of Shefa. Any Shefa that comes to this world must go via the Esoi. Just as Rav Elazar said in this Torah, we're talking about the two Ruchais and everything. Where does that whole thing begin? By the Tzadik. Eila Torah is Noyach, Noyach is Tzadik. The whole thing comes from the Tzadik. Okay. Now Rav Elazar brings in some side items which are mentioned, which are based on this Torah, or which this Torah can clarify. For example, there's a sentence which we say in the Haggadah on Pesach, when we say, Vayered Mitzrayimah, that the Jews went down to Mitzrayim, so the Baal Haggadah writes, Onus al pi hadibur. They went down, they were forced by a command of Hashem. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, that Ger Yezaracha Be'eretz Le'elohem. That's why the Jews had no choice. The Gemara tells us that the incident of Yezar Tzadik happened, so Yaakov Avinu had to go down to Mitzrayim. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu had a choice. He could have gone down that way, or he could have been taken down in chains, period. Now Rav Elazar explains this in a different light completely. Note, Rav Elazar says, Kisha Dibur Yoyreid, B'meitzar HaGoloim, when a person's Dibur, which should be coming up from out in an upward manner out of his mouth, when the Dibur instead goes down to the narrow place within the throat, Shezeh Bechinas Golus Mitzrayim, this is the concept of Golus Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means Meitzar, narrow place. Azai hu onus al pi hadibur, meaning hainu sheyeshwe einus umaniya, the person finds he has an einus, a mania, a barrier, something preventing him from doing what he wants to do and forcing him to do something else, al yedei she'ein nekudais loho isyais, due to a lack of nekudais for the isyais, to be able to allow the isyais to come out of the mouth. What happens? The isyais gets stuck in the throat. And the person isn't able to bring the Eisayas out from the narrow place of the throat. Benzal says, Shemizeh boin kol hamaniyas ba'insin. This is what brings about all manias. And einsin, einis means a circumstance that can't be helped. Vezehu b'chinas onus al pi hadibur. Anytime you see an einis means an impossible circumstance, you know that what's the cause of it? Al pi hadibur. Shal yedei she'ein hadibur b'shleimus, al yedei zehu onus kanal. And that was the whole punchline of that Gemara that we brought, that when can a person run into a situation where he thinks to do and doesn't do, and it's keili? Only if the dibur is left out. You see that that's something that's not mentioned, and yet that's the whole punchline. And that was the power of Rav Nosson Zal, to be able to read into Rabbeinu Zal's Torahs, to be able to read between the lines. That's what you see you needed here. Rabbeinu Zal doesn't mention the word Hispaitidus in his Torah at all, and yet he was the one who understood Rabbeinu Zal's words the best, to be able to bring out, what's he saying here? What does he want here? What is he getting at? Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vezehu." This is also pshat in a Gemara in Beya. The Gemara says, "Kivon shenitzrach lebriyos oilan chayshech b'adai." As soon as a person has to command the people, Beya kivon shenitzrach lebriyos oilan chayshech b'adai. That as soon as a person has to command the people, his the world becomes dark for him. In other words, he lives in chayshech chas v'shalom. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Chayshech means darkness. Rabbeinu Zal says, Chayshech loshen menia. The word Chayshech also refers to a concept of menia, kamei shekosav, as the pasuk says, v'loy chosach mimenu, v'loy chosachto es bincha es yechidcho. You didn't hold back your son. So we see that chosach means to hold back, which is the term menia, limnoya. Hainu, Rabbeinu Zal says, Kishenitzrach lebriyos, when a person has to come on to people, Azai yeshli meniyos, that brings upon him meniyos. As we said, it prevents him from being able to daven with real emes. Vezeh oilam chayshech ba'adoi, the oilam, the world, the people around him, chayshech, become a meniya ba'adoi for him. When a person like this, standing among people, azai yesh lo menios, he has difficulties. The koshel his palel bemes canal, and it becomes very difficult for him to be able to daven with emes. Why? Ki kishenitzrach lebriyos. Rabbeinu Zal says when a person has to come on to people, noyach v'toiv lo yoiser lehis palel biyochid canal, it would be much better for a person like that to daven alone. But a person who doesn't have to come on to people at all, he doesn't have to come on to them for anything, especially not for kavod, especially not for kavod. Yuchal lamid bein alofim anoshim, he can stand between among thousands of people, ulehispalel be'emes lashem yisborach levadoi. Because this person doesn't have to come on to any other being, loy leparnoso, veloy lekovoid, veloy leshum dovor, rak sivro yal Hashem alikov, his yearning is only to Hashem, that's what enables him to be able to daven among thousands of people, and it doesn't hurt him at all. And this, Rabbeinu Zal makes it very clear, is an item that's difficult, and an item that a person has to work very hard on, because if we supposedly are expected to understand how much tefillah it is, how important tefillah is, imagine a person wouldn't want to come up there and find out that suddenly they ask him, you are not, you davened for 40, 50 years, and you allowed each tefillah to have a hole in it, you created a cup, and you put water in it, and then you stuck a knife in the bottom and put a hole in it and let the whole thing leak out. Well, how's the leak? Through these pnias, a person who davens with any type of pnias, of having people watch him, or hear his davening, and hear how nice it is, and this and that, all that kind of stuff, Rabbeinu Zal says causes a lot of problems. And there are a few stories brought about Rabbeinu Zal regarding this item. Rabbeinu Zal had an the whole machlekes with the Shpola Zeda originated over an incident like this. Rabbeinu Zal was in a shul that wasn't far, not in the city of Shvoya, a city that was sort of close by. And Rabbeinu Zal was there for the Yom Meiron, for Shishai Yom Kippur, and a man went up to daven, and Rabbeinu Zal didn't like his davening. That was one guy. Then his son-in-law went up to daven Nila, and Rabbeinu Zal really didn't like his davening, and there Rabbeinu Zal got fed up enough, Rabbeinu Zal looked at him, and he couldn't daven anymore. That was the end. And he knew, then Rabbeinu Zal made some kind of crack about both of them, that both of them are davening for women. Because this one was davening to his wife, to impress his wife, and this one was davening to impress his wife. and they found out that Rabbi Nizal, you know, had mocked their davening, they went back to the Shkola Zayda, they spoke Lashon Hara about Rabbi Nizal, and that's what started the whole riot going. But in any case, we see that this is an item that's one incident. There's other incidents also, but Rabbi Nizal was very kanoi on this item. If a guy would get up to daven, and he was davening for any pnias chas v'shalom, for women to hear him, or any kind of nonsense, Rachmana Litzlan, that person was in trouble.
So how does it, if you put it into the pasuk again, of how it fits into the pasuk, the gemara that he quoted?
Kivon shenitzrach lebriyos, as soon as a person has to come on to people, whether it be for parnosa or for kavod or anything like that, oilam, then the oilam, the people, the tzibur, chayshech badai, causes manias, becomes a mania to him. The oilam, meaning if he's alone, he has no money.
Right.
When he's among the oilam, he has money.
If it's for panosa, so how does the money
come? 100% the same way. In other words, you have to understand, like, in other words, chazon, for example, a person who is davening for money, at the time that he's davening, can't really daven with emes. You watch a chazan daven, you see that it's like a real rachmanis on him. I haven't seen a chazan daven in a very long time. If you recall, on Sukkot, I had to go into the Rabbi Simson shul to ask him about the what?
It's raining.
Not about the rain for the sun. I forgot exactly what was about. I went and I saw a chazan davening, and it was really such a rachmanis on this man. In other words, one of the biggest pleasures to a religious Jew in life is the time that he's given to be able to daven. The shacharis, the mincha, the maariv, you know, during the weekdays, especially on Shabbos, the privilege to be able to sit alone and daven with pshitas and tmimus to Hashem. And this guy can't do it. Why? Because it's for parnasa. He has to come on to the people for parnasa. The davening is a parnasa to him. And this is what causes the olam chayshech. They are a mania, a barrier to him, not allowing him to daven with emes. Very simple. When he gives a krechts in the tefillah, it's a krechts of sheker. And Rabbi Nizal in this Torah makes it clear that that's not a joke. In other words, that guy gets very, you know, Rachmana Litzlan, it's not good. It's a very bad item to take tefillah and to botch it up, to make it ugly by mixing in sheker.
Which means to come on to people for cover.
Meaning a person, in other words, you again, like Rabbi Zal mentions on our halacha tapes, that you have places where people fight for the break law. They fight to daven for the Amid because they need that. Their chias is when they daven for the Amid and when they finish. And people say, oh, he daven very nice, that kind of thing. They need that to live on, literally. That's part of their life. And Rabbi Nizal says that a person who has that nature, again, that person, when he's davening in a shul, it's impossible for him to daven with kavanah. And we're talking about nice, in other words, not necessarily a horrible guy here. We're talking about people, rachmana litzlan, in from shuls today, who have this nature, period. They like to daven for the yamid or whatever, but not. It has nothing to do with Hashem. They're wanting to daven for the yamid. In other words, Rebbe Zal, if anybody really studied carefully, or at least, or maybe I shouldn't say it, because maybe it's just my own feeling, but my own feeling is that Rabbi Zal liked very much to daven for the Amid. Why? There are two or three reasons that I felt personally. Number one, among us, he knew that nusach-wise, he had the best nusach. In other words, nobody could put, and else that alone, so that the Baal Tefillah, the shul, should be davening with good nusach. That's why he preferred himself. Number two, it was a time, for example, Hallel. If he was davening by himself, he couldn't give as much into it as if he's davening for the Amun. It allowed him to open his mouth. But in other words, it had nothing whatsoever to do with the people present. He needed an opportunity to be able to burst out to Hashem. He wouldn't do it if he was davening by his shtendel shul. He wouldn't do it if he were having his splitidus in the house, because this was an opening to do it. That was him. You have other people in other shuls or whatever, where it's the exact opposite. When they're going to daven for the Amid, Hashem is out of the picture completely. It has purely to do with either their wives, you know, that kind of thing, or the men in the shul. they live that feeling with alter. And generally, 90% of the time, those I recall when I davened in my, in Ubesin, 99% of these people have that nature. Number one, usually don't have good voices, and the people laugh behind their backs. There was a guy in the shul, in Israel, Mobesin, who was exactly like this, and he had, Rahman al-Islam, he really didn't have a good voice, only he never heard himself, in other words, he never heard himself on a tape or something like that to be able to know. And sometimes they would send him up to the Yamad, but to be able to make fun. And when he would go up to the Yamad, you could tell that he was doing it. You know, he was stretching and gargling and doing everything. I'm saying this is a serious item. He was doing it, Bedafka, you know, to be a little showy. And yet and that's exactly what he's talking about here. This person had to come on to those people there to be able to make the noise. If you put him alone in a room, if you gave him complete privacy, he could never do that. Whereas Rebbe Zal, if he had a shul with nobody in it, like that kind of thing, he could definitely do the same type of davening that he did in front of us, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what Rebbe Zal is talking about here.
What about the whole thing of paying a chasm for davening for Kippur and Rosh Hashanah? Is that okay?
Put it this way. The chasm to daven in a shul, in a real shul, shouldn't be a chasm who's davening for money. No way. In other words, you have, like, for example, the chazan and the davening in Oman in the shul were given some money for davening. But, in other words, one had nothing to do with the other. They could spit at the money. In other words, they could have asked for triple and they would have gotten it. The money was, in other words, it's that kind of thing. The money is something, it's an arrangement that's made. But it had nothing to do with their davening. The money was dependent on the davening, or the davening was dependent on the money. Or if they would give him double to davening, he would have put in double effort. Whereas Rachmon al-Islam, by Velt Chazonim, you tell the guy you're doubling his salary, you'll see that he'll give double. Yeah. Exactly. Because by them it's tied in. And by Erlich HaBalit Fila, it has nothing to do one with the other. That's the story.
You once mentioned the story about Rabbeinu Zal telling this guy to daven that he couldn't daven right, and he went up there and he davened very brokenhearted.
Right, and Rabbeinu Zal loved it. Rabbeinu Zal said he liked it very, very much. Okay, let's do one more paragraph with this. We close this unbelievable large size Torah. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vizir Said, this Torah, everything that we discussed in this Torah, is related to a story that's brought in the Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara and Brachas tells a story that seems wild. The Gemara says, there was Maisa b'chosid echa, there was a chosid, that's the wording that the Gemara uses, who had a fight with his wife, and his wife insulted him. And his wife insulted him, he figured rather than kill her that night, or rather than slice her face up to pieces, he decided in order to avoid committing any serious crime, he's going to go sleep elsewhere for that night, just till he cools down, that kind of thing, to prevent any action coming out of his cars. Where did he go to sleep? The Gemara says he went to sleep in a cemetery. He lay down in the cemetery to go to sleep. The Gemara says he overheard two ruchais talking to each other. They were talking about parnosa. Do you know what they said in heaven regarding parnosa for this year? And this one said, yes, I overheard that they said that this and this crop, whoever will grow it early this year will be successful. The guy did it, blah, 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 and he had tremendous parnosa. The next year he came back again, the Gemara says. He overheard them saying that this crop, if you plant it late this year, you'll succeed, because in the beginning there won't be good rains. The rains will come to the end. He succeeded again, blah, blah, blah. This is the general tamsis of that story in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Zal says this Torah is a pirush on that story in the Gemara completely. Watch how things fit in a little now. This is the secret behind the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, "Ma'isa b'chosid echa." There was an incident with one chosid, shehiknitosoi ishtoi, his wife insulted him. V'holach v'lon b'beis hakvois. He went to spend the night in a cemetery. V'shoma shtei ruchais shemesapreis zuzu. He overheard two ruchais. Note, the Gemara doesn't say neshamois nefosh. The Gemara uses the word two ruchais. He heard two ruchais talking with one another. V'sipurom hoyo al oidos parnasa. Kemu v'shem b'gemara. If you look up at Gemara, you'll get the rest of the story. I don't know if I might have left out some details. I didn't check it before we learned. Okay. Rabbein Ezal says, watch, I'll give you some ramazim. You'll be able to understand that this is all connected. Shehikni tosoi, his wife, insulted him. They got angry at each other. Zebechinas charoinaf. That's the bechina, the charoinaf, that's discussed in this Torah. Charoinaf can destroy Parnasa. But this guy was a chosid. He was a fabulous guy. Rather than bring out charoinaf, rather than stay in the house, which could have caused the walls to fall apart, he decided that he was willing to go as far as to sleep in a cemetery rather than to cause charoinaf in the house. So what happened? Shtei ruchos, zebechinas beis ruchos hanal hanas nal yedei hamtokas acharoinav. That's the two ruchos that Rabbi Ezal mentioned in this Torah, which are created through a hamtoka of acharoinav. Because this guy was mamtik to acharoinav, he avoided the screaming. You know, rimach like. What happened was he created beis ruchos. He created these ruchos from which comes parnosa. As Rabbi Ezal explained, to be moitzi mikoyach el apoyel, v'ze toloi bebechinas parnoso, she'al yodo moitzi mikoyach el apoyel kanal. If you recall, Rabbi Ezal had mentioned through parnoso, a person's able to daven the right way, and that's what helps him be moitzi mikoyach el apoyel. V'loi gilo yoyser eich koa ter ha'zoyis meromezes b'manazah. Rabbi Ezal didn't want to go into any more detail to explain how this Torah is Marumas and this Maisa. The Parbrois touches it a little bit more, but generally it's this item that we see that there was a Charoinaf. The Charoinaf was Nimtak by this guy being willing to go sleep in the cemetery. If you recall, Rabbi Ezal used the term when he spoke about Rishulim in this Torah. He said ki Rishulim, that when a person carries out an Avera completion, then he becomes a Rosh of Gomor, the Chosh of Kemes, Ki Rishon Bechayim Kri Mason, the Zebechinas Kemoi Chalolim Sheikh Ve Kever. Rabbi Ezal used that word. That's when a person brings out the Avera B'Shlemus. But here the guy did just the opposite. He was willing to be Sheikh Ve Kever to avoid finishing off this cast, to avoid finishing off this fight, either by finishing off his wife or whatever else he would do. Therefore, he was zeicher by doing that to have this bracha of parnasa given to him, whereby these two ruchos were nizgala to him. He was given permission to draw parnasa via these two ruchos. How? They were magala to him, the seidos, as to how parnasa would work that year and the next year. Naturally, this is just pshat. There's obviously much more seid involved in here. However, we should be zeicher to learn to be able to understand the degree of depth in Rabbi Ezal's words.
What was the connection to hear to his Torah?
Because Rabbi Ezal's Torah spoke about how does Parnasa come through a hamtoko of Charoinaf.
Right.
And how does Parnasa come via Beis Ruchos, Poiseaches Yodecho, the two Yuds, which are the two Ruchos, you know, Rabbi Ezal explained. And that's all connected with this incident. There was a Charoinaf, there was a fight. The husband was mamtik the Charoinaf, because he was, rather than carry the whole thing out to completion, he went to sleep in a cemetery. Because of that, he created, in a sense, these two. The Gemara tells the story that he overheard two ruches. Where did the two ruches come from? From him. By his act of being mamtik the charoinaf, these two ruches were created. He created ruach. Af is smoke. When the smoke disperses, it's ruach. He created this ruach, and from the ruach came forth parnasa. From the api, poiseach es yodecho, came forth poiseach es yodecho, the whole son of Parnasa.
It's like breaking through manias, which is a part of it.
Exactly. Baruch Hashem. Now you could imagine if just reviewing this Torah inside now, looking how every piece is connected is wondrous. Plus there's a lot of halachos on the Kutei Halachos based on this Torah. Plus, with all of that, it's a drop of a drop. Ashrina Matel Chalkeno, that we have this sefer, which the rest of the world doesn't. We know what Anocha is, we know what. We have a level of understanding, if we want, we have accessible to us information which the rest of the world could never imagine in their wildest dreams, that this information is on paper. These secrets, one is gal already, they were written down, and it's available for the asking, if a person wants to ask. מקובל משה בזכת ובקום הקורא ומקושר באמס, תרבינו זל, תריצה באמס, תרבינו זל סתמיד, and specifically to our Rebbe, זכוס היגן עלינו על ישראל, ובזכת ובא, תברי את הרב, ביאס משיח, ובזכת שמר בימינו, אמין ואמין. The next Torah is going to be spectacular, the truth. What the next Torah is going to talk about is the topic of Histalkus. Also, here we were talking about the union of the Histalkus with Tzadik. The next story is going to discuss in greater detail the spiritual end of what happens when a person passes away. What does he pass away into? In other words, to nail it down more clearly, to show what's involved and what and why, the next Torah is the one on which Rav Nosson Zalman Kutei Halachos explains the whole side of the Holocaust. All of those kind of incidents are explained by this next era that we're going to have. This next era is the answer to all of those questions that people ask about the Holocaust, the Inquisitions, all of that is going to be answered in the next era.
Note that the
words in the next era are the pasuk that we quoted the Shabbos, Vayivan Hashem Elokim es Hatzela, Asher Lo Kach Mi'Adam.